Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giridhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giridhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Asatara Sata Sri Srimad. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening. Today I'll read text 37 myself. There's no purport. Then we'll chant together text 38. So text 37. Maitreya Vacha, Svasargasya Sisham Lokyam, Ashasanam Pave Patim, Nivritta Sanyaniyamo, Barya Maha Prajapatihi. Translation, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Maitreya said, the great sage Kashyapa thus addressed his wife, who was trembling because of fear that her husband was offended. She understood that he had been dissuaded from his daily duties of offering evening prayers, yet she desired the welfare of her children in the world. Text 38, we can chant together. Kashyapa Uvacha Aprayatyad Atmanas Te Doshan Mahurtikad Uta Man Nideshati Charena Devanam Chatihelanat Kashyapa Vacha Aprayatyad Atmanaste Doshan Mahurtikad Uta Mani Deshan Chaticharena Devanam Chatihelanat Kashyapa Vacha Aprayatyad Atmanaste Doshan Mahurtikad Uta Mani Desha Ticharena Devanam Chatihelanat Kashyapa Vacha Aprayatyad Atmanaste Doshan Mahurtikad Uta Mani Desha Ticharena Devanam Chati Helanat Vaishnavis. Thank you. Kashyapa Vacha. The learned Brahman Kashyapa said, Aprayatyat, because of the pollution, Atmanaha, of the mind, Te, your dosha, because of defilement, Mahurtikat, in terms of the moment, Uta, also, Mat, my, Nidesha, direction, Aticharena, being too neglectful, Devanam, of the demigods, Cha, also, Atihelanat, being too apathetic. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The learned Kashyapa said, because of your minds being polluted, because of defilement of the particular time, because of your negligence of my directions, and because of your being apathetic to the demigods, everything was inauspicious. Purport. The conditions for having good progeny in society are that the husband should be disciplined in religious and regulative principles, and the wife should be faithful to the husband. In Bhagavad Gita 7:11, it is said that sexual intercourse, according to religious principles, is a representation of Krishna consciousness. Before engaging in sexual intercourse, both the husband and wife must consider their mental condition, the particular time, the husband's direction, and obedience to the demigods. According to Vedic society, there is a suitable, auspicious time for sex life, which is called the time for Garbhadhana. Diti neglected all the principles of scriptural injunction, and therefore, although she was very anxious for auspicious children, she was informed that her children would not be worthy to be the sons of a brahmana. There is clear indication herein that a Brahmin's son is not always a Brahmana. Personalities like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu were actually born of Brahmanas, but they were not accepted as Brahmanas because their fathers did not follow the regulative principles for their birth. Such children are called demons, or Rakshasas. There were only one or two Rakshasas in the previous ages due to negligence of the disciplinary methods. But during this age of Kali, there is no discipline in sex life. How then can one expect good children? Certainly, unwanted children cannot be a source of happiness in society. But through the Krishna consciousness movement, they can be raised to the human standard by chanting the holy name of God. That is the unique contribution of Lord Chaitanya to human society. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're hearing more about Kashyapa and Diti and their progeny. Somehow or other, this account of the pregnancy of Diti, how that happened, why it happened, is included in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that means it's instructive for us in some way. You know, we've got something to learn here, and we're spending quite a bit of time, you know, discussing these matters day after day, because they're here for us to contemplate. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada has commented extensively on these points. The main one being that somehow or other, even though one may not be in the purest possible state, that, you know, we have to keep trying to perfect our understanding of and our practical realization of how to deal with this tendency that is there in every form of life. You know, there's eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Those tendencies are there. The mating tendency is there. The human form of life is special, though. Durlabham manusham janma tadapya dhruvam artadam, stated later in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, this human form of life is very rarely attained. It's not easy to get. You know, we look around, we see there's so many species of life: plants, animals, insects, fish, birds, dogs, cats, amoebas. There's so many, 8,400,000 different kinds of life. But, you know, the human form of life is very special because in it we have the ability to rise above these tendencies of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, which the dogs and cats can also do. They're also doing, so many species, they're also doing that. But it's like we have a very special form of body. Body's like a machine, a vehicle. You know, Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, as super soul, I'm guiding the wanderings of all living things who are seated on the machine of the body, like a driver and a passenger. So it's like we've got a special kind of body that can take us back home, back to Godhead. It's like a dual purpose vehicle. The soul can either use this vehicle for different kinds of material sense gratification, or it can use it for liberation. For, of course, by liberation, we don't mean impersonal liberation. We mean liberation from the cycle of birth and death. And a situation in our original spiritual form. Muktir hivyandyatam rupam swarupena vivastati. That liberation means giving up all the false identities that we have in the material world, you know, with, by false ego, we identify with a material body. And you know, we think, I am man, I am woman, I am black, I am white, I'm American, Russian, Chinese, Mexican. We identify like that. But the real purpose of the human form of life is Atato Brahma Jigyasa, stated in the Vedanta Sutra and also the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the purpose of human life is to become self-realized, to become God-realized, basically to become situated in our eternal spiritual relationship with Krishna in our spiritual form. So it's like, you know, we have a switch, you know, and we can turn it on or off. We can enable that facility. You know, just like you may have your phone, you can turn different apps on and off, or your Wi-Fi on and off. We've got in our human body the equipment that's necessary to take us back home, back to Godhead. Other types of bodies don't have that. It's kind of permanently turned off. They don't have the ability to turn that on. So we have the ability to turn on that ability to understand and act, to use our thinking, feeling, and willing capacities in the proper way. But we also have the ability to turn it off and simply become absorbed in the same kinds of activities that other species of life engage in. So we want to always make sure we're keeping our Krishna consciousness switch on. Don't switch it off. And activate all the apps, you could say. The hearing and chanting, the taking prasadam. Just keep that always switched on. Or else the result may be we lose the human form of life and just get into a form of life that's more suitable for unregulated sensual activities. So that is the basic lesson here. Now they're talking about, I mean, Srila Prabhupada is talking quite a bit about having good progeny in human society. And of course, it is easier to become Krishna conscious if we're living in a society where everyone shares the same values. You know, if we had a society that was arranged to facilitate self-realization and God-realization instead of simply working hard for trying to improve the processes of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, that would be a different kind of society. That would be like what living in the kingdom of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Would have been like. But in this age of Kali, we don't have that luxury. You know, the surrounding civilization is basically, as Srila Prabhupada says, Kalau Sudra Sambhavat. You know, in Kali, everyone is of the quality of Sudra or less, which means basically being in the mode of ignorance and passion. So those influences are there. And in Bhagavad Gita, we see Krishna speaking with Arjuna. And Arjuna is saying, if I fight this battle, I'll be killing, you know, the husbands of many women, and without their husbands to help guide them, there'll be bad progeny produced. He called it Varna Shankara, unwanted population. And this is the result of people not understanding the principles that are mentioned in this verse, that if one is going to have children, that the husband and the wife, you know, Srila Prabhupada says in here, have to be following these principles. The proper mentality has to be there. As Srila Prabhupada said, the husband and the wife must consider, one, their mental condition, then the particular time, the husband's direction, and obedience to the demigods. And in this verse, Kashyapa is accusing Diti of, you know, he's saying, because you didn't have the right mentality, because you were polluted, because you weren't considering the time that it was inauspicious, because you were not taking my direction. You know, I was saying we shouldn't do this now. You insisted. And he says, because of your being apathetic to the demigods, not properly considering that there are higher powers that are observing what's going on, and there's going to be some reaction. So he's kind of putting it all on her. But just a few verses before, he was saying himself, you know, properly, you know, taking some responsibility himself for what was going on, because he knew this is the wrong time, the wrong place, it shouldn't be done. And he just kind of gave up at that point and said, well, just whatever destiny is coming, let it come. You know, just gave himself up to fate. So he had some responsibility in this matter also. And it was pointed out in one of the verses and purports that Haridas Thakur had another approach. You know, he was approached by Maya herself, but she did, and she made all kinds of propositions to him, kind of like the propositions that DT was making to Kashyapa, but Haridas Thakur was able to remain detached, and that's even in that situation, the same kind of situation that Kashyapa was in. So we often see this. You know, before I came to the Krishna consciousness movement, you know, I was thinking about I was born in a Catholic family, so I was thinking maybe I should become a priest or a monk or something like that. And once I was traveling in Europe, and I heard about this place in Greece called Mount Athos. You know, I met some backpackers who had been there. You know, there's this peninsula that goes from around the town of Thessaloniki in Greece, goes out to the Aegean Sea, and it's kind of blocked off from public access. And there are about 20 monasteries of Greek Orthodox monks there, and you know, they just live by themselves in caves in the mountains and things like that, and they have these monasteries, and they don't allow women on that peninsula. You know, not even any female animal they'll allow there. So, I mean, that's one approach. Yeah, but in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we learned that really doesn't work, because there's kind of like the equivalent thing in Vedic culture. Yogis will go out into the forest to meditate, have no association, and then it's a negative activity. I won't do this, I won't do that, I won't. But as soon as Menaka comes or some other heavenly lady, they give up their meditation, and you know, because ultimately to control the senses, one has to have a higher taste, param drishta nivartate. Now, Srila Prabhupada was saying in the early days in one of his classes in New York City that if you're trying to control your senses, you know, because I say so, or the Vedic scripture says to do it, you're not at the perfect stage, because that's simply negative. You know, I'm not going to give in to this, I'm not going to give in to that. He said in the real stage, if you practice Krishna consciousness, you'll come to a stage where you're just not attracted to those things. It's not that you have to hold yourself back or fight with your senses, because you've developed that higher taste. Just naturally, you're not attracted to those other things. It's not that you're struggling for it. So that's the platform we want to come to. And I guess if how are we doing on time? Well, we were talking about what happens when you're not in that stage, and someone isn't able to follow the principles either spontaneously or by simply following the instructions, then the result will be unwanted progeny, or progeny that creates a disturbance in society. And we all have to consider, I mean, many of us have to consider like what Srila Prabhupada says here at the end, certainly unwanted children cannot be a source of happiness in society, but through the Krishna consciousness movement, they can be raised to the human standard by the chanting of the holy name of God. And it could be taken that, he's referring to some of us, unwanted children. Like, I once saw a quote from John Lennon. He said, practically speaking, all the children today are born out of a bottle of whiskey on Saturday night. Probably including himself, but not many of us, some of us, but not many of us were born by Vaishnav mothers and fathers who were performing Garbhadhan Samskara. So we're unwanted children, I can say for myself anyways, who somehow or other have been raised to the human or semi-human anyways platform by the chanting of the holy name of God. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was just wondering what it means by the direction of the Father. It's mentioned in the text.
Yeah, I couldn't catch that.
Thank you. I was just wondering what it means by the direction of the Father.
The direction of the husband?
Sorry, the direction of the husband, yeah.
In this case, it's specifically referring to Kashyapa telling Diti, I'm your husband. That was the fact, they were married. And he was advising her, we shouldn't do this right now. Yeah, we'll do it, but later on. So that was the direction of the husband. He told her, fine, this is what you want to do, but now's an inauspicious moment. Lord Shiva is moving through the sky right now with his ghostly companions, and it's just not the right time for it. And plus, I'm doing my evening duties. We'll do this, but we'll do it later. And she wasn't able to follow that instruction. So that's what he's referring to. Of course, if he also had his responsibility, and he kind of recognized that he had a responsibility and said, well, I'll have to just accept whatever happens. He said Haridas Thakur was able to resist a temptation like that. But so that's what it meant, the husband's direction. Should we take the question first? Okay.
I was just taking it from where Rudra Kumar just left off. The husband's direction It's not whimsical. It's not impulsive. It's according to the scriptures. And he should know the scripture, and he should try to convince his wife on the basis of the scripture, and that they both can benefit from following the scripture. Not just, well, I have a strong urge, I have a strong impulse, therefore let me yield to it. No, don't yield to it. Stop it, because God doesn't want that done. Do what he wants. And when we do what he wants, the result will generally be beneficial. And if we do what he doesn't want, it will not be beneficial, but it will be very hurtful. So let us follow the Supreme Lord. There should be some coaching, some encouraging, some direction. Not just, let's not do it. Hey, you're not following God. It's not like that. There's friendliness and there's understanding and there's love and affection for both of them that are going to be benefited. And the children, of course, that will come from such will be very desirable, because they too will follow their parents who are following the scripture.
Yeah, I'll just add a comment that even what I get from the whole pastime of Kashyapa and Diti, not just here but in the future as well, yeah, what happens in the sixth canto, is that even if you're not able to come immediately to the perfect stage, if you accept the principles and keep trying, you'll make progress. Like Kashyapa, he became Vasudev, and Diti became a devotee. So you were going to say something? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Dudakama ki jai.